Morning, church. I have to thank. I thank my wife for reading the Bible. It's nice to see some of new faces. I've seen you on screen, but this is the very first time I've seen some of you actually in person. Welcome and good morning, and I hope that you are having a great time with your long weekend, and still remember us coming back during this long weekend. What exciting news. And it's exciting to hear what from Ian about the building project. I think that was a very exciting thing, and that was the very first thing 7-8 months ago when I came in. The very first project I heard about, wow, I get the chance to witness this, the progress of seeing this. I'm not sure whether it will come, but I think we need a lot of prayers because we need a lot of finance, we need a lot of resources and manpower, and I'm so glad that we have a team that's looking after it. And you're not asking me to do it, and I can't do it. You know, I got to admit that. But I love to sit in a meeting sometimes to hear the project going through. And there's a lot of projects that we're going to work on in the background until we get it ready. I think it's all a teamwork. As a church, I always believe that we work together. Regardless of whether the project is big or small, we need to work together. All right, so we will have obstacles, but we need to overcome that as a team. And that is my idea of a church, that we work together and not alone. Now, today we come and wrap up the chapter 5 of John. We've been through 5 chapters. 16 more to go. All right, so pretty fast. I hope that you're still reading your Bible. And I hope that you're still reading John. Now, for people on screen or people on site, how many times have you been reading John since we started this project? Twice. Anybody more than twice? 3 times? 4 times? I think I've lost count. I myself have lost count of how many times I read John. You know, because at least every time, when I go through a scripture, I will look at the context of what's happened before and what's after. I'm a very forgetful person, and that's why I got to keep reading and keep reminding myself and keep allow the Word of God to inspire me. Now, today we come to the end of chapter 5. I hope that you still keep on reading so that you remind yourself, because if you hear today's scripture today, and without reading ahead or without reading back, you probably would not miss out something. You probably miss out why today's scripture is about the barriers to belief in Christ. And you're going to see what happened today in today's scripture. You're going to see a group of people. A group of people is setting up barricades. Now, normally when we talk about barricades, when we see people setting up barricades, what do? It's either you're trying to barricade yourself to protect yourself or protect others, isn't it? But in this case, these people actually set up barricades to defend, to block out Jesus. That's a very sad, sad thing. I personally witnessed that in my Christian life. That people, there are two kinds of people that put up their barricade. One is people who barricade, they knew Jesus was true, and yet they put up their barricade to block Jesus from coming in. And two, another kind of barricade is that put up a barricade so that nobody can get to Jesus. Have you ever seen that before? You witnessed that before? I personally witnessed that. And it's a very sad thing. And those people who put up barricades are people from the church. I'm not saying that. It's the truth. All right? I'm not saying that to mean anything negative, but it's the truth. And we are here at church to tell you the truth. All right? We're not here to withhold anything to you, but if it's the truth, I need to tell you. I need to let you know. So when people ask me, what's the good thing about being a Christian? I said, there's nothing good about being a Christian. All right? Being a Christian is just normal people. When you talk about Christian, it makes me think that you are in a religion. A religion is just a concept. I love to tell people I'm living the life of Jesus. I'm the follower of Jesus. I'm not following a church. I'm not following a people. Now, you see a group of people here when Jesus come. Jesus give an assessment to this group of people. All right, let me briefly brief you through chapter 5. What happened so far is that right from the beginning, Jesus was healed a man. What's wrong with healing a man? Is there anything wrong with that? I see people shaking head. But why was he being persecuted for healing a man? Try to go and persecute your doctor, your GP. All right, when you say, I'll fix you up. And you persecute him. Now, this big group of people, Jesus was doing the right thing right from the very beginning and showing mercy and giving compassion to people. And yet, doing the work of God, and yet he was being persecuted all the way. And it begins the journey of 18 to 20 months of journey to all the way to the cross. Then you see when people tried to persecute him, he put up a claim. He claimed that he has the deity of God. He was equal to God by power, authority, honor, and truth. And he made himself an instrument. And he said, I am just an instrument here for my Father. So he made it clear to those persecutors, those people who persecute him. And then he said, okay, if that's not good enough, I got witness though. You know who John the Baptist was? He witnessed about me. And all the miracles and signs that you've seen so far, you witness by yourself and tell me, and you told me that nobody can do what you do, and nobody can say what you say, unless you're from God. You know about that. Why you persecute me? And then furthermore, the scripture that you're reading, it talks about me. You see, those are the powerful witnesses they put together. And then right now, we come to the very, very end of it, when Jesus put an assessment. Now, let me remind you, the book of John is all about belief. It makes you think about, okay, what are you believing in? You come to church, you read your Bible. What are you believing in? It allows us to evaluate why we believe and who we believe and what do we believe. And today, actually, this barrier to believe in Jesus, are those people showing us an illustration? If we are not careful, we fall for the same trap. We fall for the same problem. I've seen it with my own eyes. Some people have been in church for the past 50 years in the same church, or probably in many church. But sometimes it makes me think why your life is like this. I came to Christ in 1997. And now it makes me like, what, 20 years? No, I'm younger than that. I'm not going to lie to you. It makes me think that the older you get doesn't mean that the more spiritual you get. It doesn't mean that. The older you get, you might have something that is fixed to you that you refuse to change. There's no transformation. It's hard to transform. I think that's not true too. Old people can change. Young people can grow. Yeah? We are a church. We are called to be disciples. Disciples are learners. We can change. We can do things differently. So what are them? And then later on, what are the barriers that is coming to you? I'm going to bring out the three points that I found. The reluctant to glorify God, the reluctant to love God, and the reluctant to trust the Word of God. And last, to evaluate ourselves in these three points. And we see what the Scripture is going to go through. I hope that you can think. When you come for a sharing like this, please don't think about others. Please be selfish and think about yourself. Because I believe God is speaking to you. All right? And as God is speaking to me too. So think about yourself. Don't think about, all right, oh, this is, you remind me of somebody that I know who is in this situation. All right? So everybody, every one of us supposed to read the Word of God ourselves. All right? It's our own responsibility. So the first one is that these people, you see a group of people coming together and they refuse to give glory to God. Now Jesus comes and says, I do not accept praise from men. Now Jesus does not have that, do not intend to receive any glory from anyone. If you read the Bible carefully, the four Gospels, you never seen Jesus once, never once that he ever said, give me the glory. Every single time when he performed a miracle or said something, They're so excited. And then people come to him. What did they do? And he said, don't tell anyone. Yeah? And people go around telling everyone. Now, this is, I don't know whether Jesus was playing that kind of psychological trick. Yeah? The more you tell people not to do it, they do it. If you want people to do something, tell them not to do it. And then somehow, every single time you see he wants to give praise to the Father. He said, everything is from the Father. The Father is the one who sent me. Yeah? You see how he glorified God in those ways. But you see in the scripture as well, in verse 44, he said, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another and yet make no effort to obtain praise? You see, these people are so preoccupied. He's accessing this group of people. This group of people are the Jewish official. They are so preoccupied with their self-exaltation. They want glory for themselves because of the great job that they have done, because of the high ranking, the high post that they have. They have been embracing, they have got so addictive to the praise and glory for themselves that people have given to them because of their position. That they neglect giving God their glory. All right? This is the first part. Now, why these people, they are God people. They know so much about God. They're supposed to know about God. But why are they in such a condition of not giving glory to God? Because their heart has a condition. All right. Remember the parable of a sower? If you're going to read up in Luke chapter 8, you find that this parable of sower talks about four soils. All right. And three of them are bad soil. It's talking about four different kinds of hearts, four conditions of a heart. So which one are you? That's what the parable Jesus is trying to get to us. Which one are you? And Jesus picked the one with the good heart, with the good soil, means the good heart. That means when the word of God came to you, it rooted and it grew. And this is the third person. And those people who persecute Jesus are the people with bad hearts. They have a bad heart condition. That's why they can't give glory to God. Because people have no roots. They have no word of God. They have no Holy Spirit in them. And then you see these people who seek all the glory from ancient time up to the very present time, Adam and Eve. They want to give glory to themselves. That's why they betray God. They refuse to listen to God. They want to look for some other glory for themselves. And so, Apostle Paul, before he became Apostle Paul, what did he do? He persecuted the church. Why? Because he seeks his own glory. Isn't it? He wanted to find favor from God. And now today, you see people in power. You see on TV all the time. I don't want to name who. And you see celebrities, sports athletes. They receive so much praise and glory for themselves. So much applause. I know. When you read news, you got news of people who have received praise and glory for themselves for so many years. And one day, when they get old, when they retire, there's no more praise and no more applause for them. What do? They feel yucky. They feel something is not right. I miss something. I miss those applause. I miss those people praising me. And they turn to drugs. They turn to something else. Church, there's nothing new under the sun. That's what I'm trying to say. People try to receive their glory. I wonder why. Because we are created in the image of God. Yeah, we are like God. We just want to be like God. But somehow when we put our mind, our heart is in the wrong condition, then this is something going to happen. We want all the glory for ourselves rather than for God. So these people come. You see Jesus just did some heal a man. Instead of giving God the glory, they persecute Jesus. So sometimes it makes me think that sometimes when we are at church, as Christian, the way that we're living, the things that we're doing, we got to be very, very careful of all the success that we have. In future time, if we ever got the building erected, don't be too proud about this. Remember the reason why we have that building. remember the reason why we do put so much trouble through of doing what we're doing. The only reason that we do here is because we want to glorify God. Amen? And we want the community to see God. So I remember the very first thing when I shared with Ian, I said, look, I see when a new building come up, I see this building as an icon of Ringwood. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to see whether, so in other words, I was sort of like subconsciously pushing Ian to say, oh, okay, to redesign the thing. I said, oh, no, that's not what I meant. I shoot myself in the foot. But see, when every time Jesus himself gave glory to the Father, remember John the Baptist. Remember way in back in chapter 3, verse 18. What did he say? Verse 30. He said, he must become greater and I must become less. If you want to glorify God, if you want to play it safe, if you don't want to get into yourself into a danger zone like this official leader, always remember this. Remember to put God first. Remember to glorify God in whatever you are doing, however you live your life. All right? Think about how the way that you live today. It's how the way that you live, glorifying yourself or glorifying God. I can bet, if you sit down in your quiet time, go home today, during your long weekend, you sit down and think about, go through in your mind and think about what you have done so far. You find most of the time we are glorifying ourselves. We do whatever we like. You know, ever had heard a term that said, I'm not comfortable with doing this? You see, it's always about me. It's not about God. But if I'm doing it for God, if I'm glorifying God, it's not about me anymore. I will always say, I'll give it a try. As long as the Lord wants me to do it, I'll do it. You know, even up to this very day, I ask myself a question. I say the same prayer every day. I say, God, if Ringwood is not the place that you want me to glorify you, please kick me out, man. That's my prayer. You know, honestly, this is my prayer. I even said it to the elders. I said, look, if I'm not the right person, you better get me out, man. You got to let the right person come in. All right? We want to glorify God. If each and every one of us is doing the right thing and to glorify God, just do nothing but to glorify God. I tell you, we will not quarrel. We will not have indifference. We might share different values, but we know we want ultimate goal. We want to glorify God. Then we will stop quarreling because there's no glory from that. Amen? Now, the second thing that we come to see is that when you say, these people do not love God, and Jesus accessed them and said, see, I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. You see, the condition of their hearts. You do not love. And Jesus said, there are these kind of people who do not love God. I see people in four categories. One, people who do not love God and have no love for people either. And they only love themselves. Probably they don't love themselves. And I consider these are people are evil people because you got no God, you got no love for people. It has to be evil. And another kind of people are called liars. They say that they love God, but they don't love people. That's what according to James and said, you're a liar. And the other one is probably they are good people. They say that they love people, but yet you see, they don't love God. It made me understand. You can be a good people, isn't it? I met so many non-Christian. They don't know how to love God. They got no God. They believe there's no God. And yeah, but they are very, way, way much better than the Christian that I know. People of God, so-called people of God. They have so much love for people. And the other one is the righteous people. Righteous people are people who love God and love people. This is biblical people. This is what we call Christian, right? This is what we call follower of Christ. All right? And then furthermore, righteous people are people who Jesus summarized the summary of 10 commandments. You know, you don't need to follow 10 commandments. All you need to do is to love God and love people. This is a summary of the 10 commandments. All right? If you try to follow each and every one, you'll fail each and every one of them. But if you try to just do love God and love people, then you will love your church, you'll love everything that you have. And these people, the Jewish leader, the Jewish officials, they'll probably fall into category 1 and 2. They have no love for people and then no love for God. But they know the words of God. And they what? They betray their commitment. Their commitment to love their God, their Lord, with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. They, by heart, they know about this. They can recite this. They can teach people about this. But in their, how come when they come to Jesus, when they saw Jesus healing a man, and they persecute Jesus like this? All right? If you don't love God, that's fine. But at least be a good person. Love people, right? But these people don't even love a simple man, a man, if they consider Jesus is not a God, is not the Son of God. But the least you can do is to see another man healing another man. You say, oh, good on you. Thank you for helping out this guy, right? And furthermore, this man, that sick man has been there, sitting there for the past 38 years. How can you allow this to go on another day? No love for people and no love for God. All right? And then if you love Jesus, if you love God, then you have to accept Jesus. That's what Jesus himself said. All right? I'm sent by God. If you can't believe that I sent by God, with all the testimony, all the witnesses I'm giving you, all the declaration, the claims that I've given you, and so far what have you have seen, then you're not accepting my Father. You're not accepting my God. And just want to make a note here. When Jesus talked about this, if someone else, if you do not accept Jesus or reject Jesus, then you are allowing yourself to be vulnerable for something or someone else to take over that rightful God-shaped hole in your heart. Be very careful, all right? If your heart is not there, if your heart is not for the love of God, then your heart will be loving something else. That's my personal experience as well. If I don't love God, I love something else. Today, when I learn to love God, when I do whatever I can to love God and pursue that love, I got no time for anything else. All right? If I continue to pursue that love, to love for my wife, all right? The moment I stop that, I tell you I'll look for another one. Isn't it? That's why you see people divorce, love affair, outside of marriage, things happen like this because you lost and you did not hang on to your first love. That's why the Bible wants us to go back to the first love for our Lord. So love is one thing. If you don't have that love for God, then you will have something else. And then this somebody else, someone else that Jesus is talking about is a prophesied. It's a prophesied about the Antichrist. That means what he's saying is that if you don't have the love for God right now, in future time, when the Antichrist comes, that space will be covered by him. Be very careful. It's a warning to all these people, to all these leaders. Don't leave that space for the Antichrist to come. Fill up that space right now with the love of God, to love God. If you're interested, look up, you can look up Google. Look up Google for the list of false messiah, Antichrist. You won't be surprised. You know, there's a list, the last time I checked was like since the 19th century. It would go way further back, but it was not recorded. But since the 19th century, there are people claiming to be Jesus Christ, to be the Messiah, to be the Savior. And people believe in them. Why? It's so obvious today when we know that there are certain cults that is around, and yet we allow that to come in. I just don't understand. Sometimes when I see people, it's so obvious, why don't you understand? Because their heart was not filled with the truth, with the love of God, that it has to be filled by something else. Okay? And then the Bible tells us, if you are interested to know what is Antichrist, who is Antichrist, then read up Daniel chapter 7, 2 Thessalonians, Revelation. You know, read up that, it gives you a good description of that. And of course, if you only know the Antichrist but do not know Jesus, then again, if you're not following Jesus, then somebody else, you're vulnerable to follow something else. Don't let that happen. All right? And finally, when we come, Jesus said something that I don't think, you know, I do not think Jesus said, tell them and finally and say, I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to accuse you. Remember what earlier on the Bible said? In chapter 13, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus said, I do not come to condemn you. I come to save you. In other words, if you do not believe, you're condemning yourself and separating yourself from the love of God. That's what Jesus said in the past. And Jesus is repeating this again. All right, I'm not here to accuse you. The one you're accusing is Moses. Now, why he bring up Moses like this time? When he bring on Moses, it was the law. He was talking about the Moses law. He's talking about the scripture. Because when they, in that time, they are so hold on to the law of Moses, which is the Ten Commandments, or their Torah, the first five books of our New Old Testament, or some of the prophets. But they are obeying that so tight, having that so tight. They've forgotten about what the scripture is about, what Moses was talking about. Moses was talking about Jesus all the time. The whole scripture was pointing all the way to Jesus, all the time. No matter how you read your Bible, how you read the scripture, it has to point to Jesus. If you read the Bible and think and look at the Bible and say, okay, what does it mean to me all the time, and you neglect seeing Jesus in it, then you miss the point. You're just reading another novel, reading another boring book. All right? If you don't trust me, go back and read Numbers. You fall asleep, you don't find any numbers in there. You fall asleep. You know, sometimes I remember when I first, when at a very early stage of my Christian life, and my pastor gave me an advice. He said, look, if you can't fall asleep, read Exodus. Read Numbers, Deuteronomy. Good advice, you know. And then you see some people actually enter Exodus, but never exit Exodus. You know, for their whole life. 20 years later, oh, I'm still in verse 3. So it is all scripture supposed to point you to Christ. If you want to find Christ, read your Bible. Don't go into the Bible and look for something else. Go and look for Christ. Right from the beginning, from the Genesis all the way to Revelation, always keep asking a question, where is Jesus in this? What is Jesus doing about this? And I tell you, these Jewish officers, they know Moses' law. They know their scripture. They were bound by Moses' law. They know the law. When we talk about the law, it's the scripture that they're talking about. They were teaching of the scripture. They were they mastered it, and they were proud of it. But at the end, we see them, in Jesus' case, they betray the law. You see how easy it is? Can you recall it? Can you see yourself in this? I see myself in this. I read the Bible every day. I read my Bible diligently. And I keep reminding myself, I don't read my Bible. I don't read my Bible because I need to preach. Not because I'm preaching, that's why I read my Bible. I read my Bible. I preach. I come to preach today. I come to share today because I have read my Bible. I found Jesus myself. And yet, you ask me honestly, I got to tell you, I betray all the time. You know? We talk about love. Oh, love God and love people. Look, it's not as easy as you thought. The moment you think that you love God, you betray God. The moment you think that you love people, you hate people. That's the truth. So why do we do this? So it's not about reading the Bible. It's about finding Jesus in it. It's about knowing that I follow Jesus. I know that I can't do it. I know that I can't love God. I know that I can't love people enough. So I need Jesus in this. Jesus, you need to help me. Help me to love you. Help me to love people. And then Jesus said, he said, if you believe in Moses, you believe me, you would believe me. For he wrote about it. You see this? Jesus told them, said, look, you believe in the law. All these laws are all pointing to me. So why are you not trusting what the word is? You are teaching the word and you don't trust the word. Contrary to what they do, right? Now, and finally, and Jesus said, now, you realize there's two but in here. B-U-T, not B-U-T-T. The two but here is a warning to us. All right? It's telling us that the scripture and Jesus go hand in hand. You cannot deny one and accept one. The moment you deny Jesus, reject Jesus, you reject the whole scripture. The moment you reject the scripture, you reject Jesus. Simple as that. So it goes hand in hand. You say, what? If you believe the scripture, you believe what Moses said, then you have to believe me. How can you not believe me, but believe Moses? Because it prophesies about me. It talks about me. And church, what does all this message means? All right, all the messages that we receive today from the gospel, from the Bible, the message you receive week after week when you come to church, it's not a message about prosperity. Of course, it talks about it. But some people have a different idea about prosperity. Oh, yeah, you do this, you know, follow God, you'll be prosperous. I even hear people say, look, Jimmy, if you can speak in tongue, then you are the child of God. I say, I can speak in tongue, I can speak Hokkien, I can speak Mandarin, I can speak Cantonese, I can speak more than you can. You know? But people have weird thinking about it. And some people use it as a book. The message of Jesus is about a purpose. Not true though. Or philosophy, or morality, or happiness. We come to church for a wrong reason. We come to Jesus for a wrong reason. But what is the Christian message that Jesus is trying to give us? The Christian message that we have is that the forgiveness of sin, eternity with God, through your believing in Jesus only. So if you read the Bible, you come to church every week, you have your connect groups week after week, and then you share with people, and it causes you to go somewhere else, and something else is wrong. It causes you to not focus on Jesus, then something else is wrong. Everything that we do is supposed to be in Jesus alone. Amen? So I hope that this is a reminder for us. So these are the signs of our believing. I believe Jesus is showing us today with this assessment of this group of people. The sign of our believing in Jesus is that we glorify our God in the way we live. So think about the way you live today, the way that you choose to live. It might be you feel comfortable and right, but it might not be glorifying God. Think about the way that you love God through Jesus. Do you love people? Do you love others as yourself? All right? Keeping in touch doesn't mean I love you. All right? But coming together today, as we come together, this shows that kind of love and effort, because coming to a church, it costs a lot of effort. All right? Because we got online right now. We have online. You can always stay at home in your pajamas. We allow you to do that. But we still prefer you to come together so that we can see you in person. There's a kind of love that we can connect. We don't just connect with each other. We build that love for each other. And then trusting the scripture. When you read the Bible, you might not understand sometimes, but you don't need to doubt it. Because every single word in the Bible is the word of God that you have to trust. So where is your belief today? Are you still believing, church? That's the question for you. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you again. We thank you for giving us this sign to give us that confidence of our faith. We thank you that even whether we are Christian or non-Christian, we are follower of Christ or not follower of Christ, but today we know that you give us a sign of following you is that we will glorify God, we will love God, and we will trust every single word that comes out of your mouth. Because you tell us that your word is the breath, is God's breath, it's your breath for us to breathe, to live. And Father, we just thanks again that you have revealed through us through these scriptures in the midst of all the Antichrist or all the cults that is growing on during Apostle John's time. And today, we see that the scripture is still valid to us. It's still relevant to us. And Lord, we ask that you will continue to guide us throughout the week and throughout the rest of our life. As we proceed to follow you, we will sought ways to glorify you, to love you, and to trust your words and obey your commandment. And Father, as we walk away today, let us not just walk away with another message, but with a message that produces life, that produces transformation, a transformation of life that will glorify you, that will love you, that will trust you. And for those people who have not come to Christ, I hope that, Lord, you will stir these people and let them come and glorify you, love you, and trust you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Once again, for those of you on screen or people on site, if you have a question about Jesus that you want to know more, please drop us a line and let us know. And if you like what you've seen so far, please like us on Facebook or on YouTube. And we pretty much want to get in touch with you. And please do get in touch with us. Even if you don't want to come to Jesus, we can still pray for you. All right? Now, the next song that's coming up is a bit of an oldies. And it's called "It Is Well With My Soul." I hope that, look, if you don't know the song, then never mind. Look at the lyrics. I hope that the lyrics will talk to you.